The cloud.
Awesome. Okay. We're good.
Hope we can find the right cloud later.
Thank you very much. So if we could, let's start with Council Chair Tripp.
I'm Tom Tripp. I'm the representative from the Tooele County Council. This year I've been serving as chair. I've been RPO for, this is my third year.
Terrific. Thank you. Mayor Wynn.
I am Debbie Wynn. I'm the mayor of Tooele City, representing Tooele City, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. Kip?
Kip Billings, Wasatch Front Regional Council.
Great. Andy?
Andy Welch, I'm the Tooele County Manager.
Great. Carrie?
Sorry, I've delayed mouse problems. My name is Carrie Doan. I'm the manager of long range and strategic planning at UTA.
Terrific. Juan?
Hi, I'm Juan Luis Bradlin, UDOT project manager over a lot of projects in Tooele County.
Great. Eric?
Yeah, Eric Chasen. I'm the traffic operations engineer for Region 2, UDOT.
Thank you. James?
James Waltz, Grantsville City Public Works. Mayor Marshall could not be on today, so we apologize for his unavailability. So
thank you. Glad you could be here, James. Eldon.
Good afternoon. I'm Eldon Bingham with UDOT, and I'm in charge of the CMAC program in the state. So I'm interested in item number 3 on your CMAC projects.
Thank you. Jim.
Jim is on mute.
He unmuted then. Okay, Jim. For some reason, I'm not hearing you.
I barely heard it for a moment.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now?
Still? Yes, but just barely.
Okay, sorry, I'll try to speak louder. Jim Bolster, Community Development Director for Tooele City, in support of Mayor Wynn representing Tooele City.
Thanks, Jim. Rochelle.
Rochelle Custer, Tooele County Community Development Director.
Thank you. And Jeff.
Jeff Miller, Tooele County Planner.
Great. Paul.
Paul Hansen, I'm the city engineer, and I have an distinguished guest in my office as well.
David Grandpre, the Public Works Director for Tooele City.
Terrific. Jay. Jay
Aguilar, statewide long-range planner for UDOT.
Thanks, Jay. And Jared.
Yeah, Jared Stewart, Tooele City Economic Development. I am a second late.
Thank you. All right, did I miss anybody? All right, well, thank you. Welcome everybody to the Tooele Valley Rural Planning Organization meeting of Monday, December 13th, 2021. Began at 1:30 p.m. Appreciate everyone introducing themselves, and we'll go to the first item on the agenda, which is action on the September 13th meeting minutes.
I'll motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Mayor Wynn.
I guess I get to second him, Wayne. I note that I am not available. I wasn't here in person for that meeting, so.
Okay.
Second him.
Well, if anybody thinks Council Chair Tripp is on unsafe ground by seconding, let us know. But thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Terrific. Thank you. Appreciate that. And Grant, we went around and everybody introduce themselves. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. Sorry for being late. Grant Farnsworth, UDOT Region 2 Planning Manager.
Thanks, Grant. All right.
Wayne?
Yes.
This is Carrie, just a point of order, and forgive me, I'm new to this group who are voting members. I'm just here as a representative. Is that correct? Or how does that work?
Thank you.
Tom Tripp and Debbie Wynn are the two voting members that are present.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Thanks. Yeah.
That's why I seconded it.
I'm also a voting member.
Okay.
Yeah, and James is the alternate for Grantsville mayor. So he gets to vote also, as well as any others that have been designated as alternates when their elected official is not able to make it. So thank you. Good point of clarification. Let's see. So this next agenda item, I just wanted to invite everybody to share their thoughts on their agency's near-term transportation priorities. And just with the thought that by being aware of each other's priorities and there might be opportunity to think about or for all of us to share thoughts on any available resources or if there are any needs in terms of next steps with any of these priorities. Just wanted to open it up for exchanging of ideas.
Well, maybe I'll just jump in right now, Wayne, just to break the silence. I think we've got some good projects that are already on board. We've got the park and ride near Grantsville. We've got some debottlenecking along 36. We're going to add an extra lane into the 201 connection there at exit 102 or whatever the number that one is. I think another thing I would like to see considered is the hook up from the Mid-Valley Highway into Village Boulevard. And secondly, I know it's already in the works, that there's a kickoff meeting for the Mid-Valley Highway Phase 2 that's to start. Isn't that kickoff on the 13th of January, I believe, which will be just the first kickoff on Phase 2.
Very good. Thank you. Any information anybody would like to share on any of those near-term priorities or questions?
I would like to have some more information, if possible, on this kickoff meeting on the 13th of January for the Mid-Valley Highway.
Great. Juan will be, if you want her to share it now, I'm sure she'd be happy to. We do have an agenda item number 5 that she'll be sharing that and whatever else she sees fit, if that would be all right. Great, thank you. Any other thoughts on near-term priorities?
To the connection with Mid-Valley and Village Boulevard, I had our consultant on the Tooele Valley modeling or study look at that connection, and part of their report will be just providing what that analysis was. Did not appear, maybe that might be with the social economic that's in the model, the forecasted growth in that area. That's not showing it that attractive at this point. We're currently in the phase of updating that or getting feedback on what that forecasted volume is and the demographics of the area. So that might be a reason to revisit it, but it was not showing it as very attractive at that point. And I can provide that analysis to you.
Okay, well, let me give you the observations. I've driven the new exit, 94, 179 over to 138. And if you get on that thing about, between 5:30 and 6, when you empty out down there by Sheep Lane, if you guys know where that is, almost half of the traffic is heading out Sheep Lane, which tells you that it is hauling over to the south end of Tooele around all the Main Street stops. So I think we're getting good utilization that way. And, you know, it may not be a UDOT project, but I think the county's already acquired right away there. We may make that a county project then, if you guys don't think it's that high.
And this was the connection to Mid-Valley from Village Boulevard, is that right?
Yeah, because right now you've got a, you know, you're getting off there on that little parachute lane, then you have to backtrack quite a bit. We just think that if you connect it up that way, the people in Stansbury will obviously use that. It'll further debottleneck 36, but we'll look at your studies certainly, Grant. That's one of my personal priorities.
And we haven't collected data. This was done before it actually opened, so it might also help to have calibrated data with it actually open.
Okay.
To see how that might differ and how the model might need to be calibrated.
Excellent. That's exactly the type of exchange I was hoping for. So thank you. Other thoughts on near-term priorities? All right.
I'm not sure if this is the place or not, Wayne, but one thing that we're looking in at Grantsville City is some of the incentive and the dollars that have been put aside for electrical vehicle charging opportunities, participating in the, you know, decarbonization effort, and just providing opportunities for those that choose to drive those personal vehicles. So we're preliminary looking into that, and I think there's a place for it, and I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Those are good thoughts, and I'll mention an additional upcoming resource you may or may not be aware of at under other business. But thank you. Good thought.
I go over Wayne. I think we also have a project to rehabilitate part of Burmester, the Burmester exit into Grantsville.
Right.
That's already on the list somewhere. So.
Thank you. Yeah, that's part of the, I think it's non-urban STP surface transportation program that's scheduled for next year. Yeah. If I'm not.
I'll be glad to get it started anytime. I just need to go.
Great. Well, thank you. Those are great thoughts, and we'll hear more from Juan shortly and hear more on funding opportunities under other business. So with that, we'll turn some time to Eric.
Yeah, so maybe for those that aren't aware, just wanted to go maybe back through the CMAQ funds for 2022. As most of the group is aware, the 2022 funds were obligated to be contributed towards the Grantsville Park and Ride. So with that being said, from what I'm aware, we have typically opened up the letters of intent and application for the CMAQ funds for the future year about this point. I wanted to just bring it up to the group of what is the desire, since the 2022 have already been obligated, what is the desire for the 2023 CMAQ funding? Would it be the group's desire to open up those letters of intent and application at this point, or wait until the fall, which is the typical timing, I believe. Maybe Wayne can correct me if I'm wrong. But wait until that point if the locals have a desire to wait, let their priorities may change, or let some of the things they have in the works right now develop more before those letters of intent are asked for. What is the desire of the group?
Eric, this is Paul. Can I ask a question on that?
Okay.
What do you anticipate the available funding being this round?
I'd have to go look at that. Do you have that, Wayne?
Yeah, I do. So the FY 2023 remaining balance is $330,000. Those funds cannot be obligated until October 1 of 2022. And then kind of along, I think one question that's come up before that would be okay to ask again is, you know, there's typically what this group has done is program out just 1 year at a time. There's also an option of programming out 2 years worth or whatever UDOT is comfortable with. But the current annual allocation is about $380,000. So that's a longer answer than maybe you want, but does that answer your question, Paul?
It does. And do signalized intersections qualify under that funding, new intersections?
No. They, I mean, maybe I should say generally, no. The most of the time, and so if you know, if an entity wants to submit an analysis or, you know, some signal modeling that suggests otherwise, or that shows that delay is actually reduced, then that's an option. But typically, placing a signal will have definite benefits in terms of mobility and safety, but usually there's actually an overall increase, whether small or large, there's usually an overall increase in delay, and hence it's difficult to show an air quality benefit.
Thank you.
I guess to your original question about timing, one of the things that we have planned this year, this next year, is to do an update to our master transportation plan. So waiting may be good, at least for us, as we look at updating that plan, just to see if there's anything that comes out of that.
And that is the traditional schedule. So I think that I'm for status quo as well.
I agree.
Okay.
Great. Anything else, Eric, on that?
No, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's see. On item number four, let me share my screen here. Let me give a bit of context before I share the screen. Sorry. You'll recall from one of our earlier meetings this year that for right now, the intent is to update the current Tooele Valley long-range transportation plan by around May or June of 2023. And so, and that update to the plan is not necessarily going to be a major update. Quite a bit of work was done last time, but I think there will be some significant enough activities and so forth that it'll be worth updating. A few things that'll need to be updated include incorporating, deciding what to, for the RPO to decide what to incorporate from the transit feasibility study that UTA led, and also from the study and the study extension, the Northeast Area Study that UDOT has been leading. There are updates that have taken place and are taking place with the local transportation plans, and so it will be appropriate to reflect those. And then there's also an opportunity to extend the horizon year of the plan. from 2040 out to 2050. And so those are all reasons for doing at least a moderate update of the transportation plan for the entire valley. With that context, let me just share my screen here. Is that coming through all right? Okay. So you can see these maps are from the current Tooele Valley Transportation Plan. Not sure which is on your left and which is on your right, but there's a map of route types, whether buffered bike lane or shared roadway or multi-use path. And then there's a route of phasing and of course references or symbols for various things that might be desirable to connect with active transportation. So my request is if each of the local governments would review this and maybe provide some, and I'll send a link to this out, both PDF and GIS. But if you'd review this over the next several weeks and maybe add in any existing or update any existing bike routes, and then if you have updates to make to this based on your active transportation, your agency's active transportation plan, or desires or thoughts or anything else, if you'd suggest any additions, deletions, modifications, whether it be to phasing or project type. The phases going out, anticipating going out to 2050 with this next plan update, the three phasings for that are likely to be 2023 to 2032, 2033 to 2042, and 2043 to 2050. So you could suggest any of three phases. And this will be a work in progress, it would probably be helpful if you could, I'll send these out in the next week. And if you could get me feedback input by the end of January, that would be wonderful. Even if it's initial or interim feedback, doesn't have to be final. Like I mentioned, this can be a work in progress, but questions or comments?
Well, maybe I'll just throw out, I think our active transportation coordinator recently left us, so we've got a vacancy that needs to be filled to help us along on this area of projects.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
And it's been working out of our health department. I don't know if that's where it'll stay or whether we'll do something else with it. Do you have any comments, Andy?
I pulled this up, I guess, a week or so ago and started to look at this. So we'll have to do a little bit more review and decide where we best house it within the county.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, this will be an initial opportunity for feedback and trying to get some of the discussions going. There will probably be opportunity for additional feedback and modifications, whether it's connections among different routes or prioritization or so forth. So thank you for making us aware of that. Any other comments or questions? All right. Well, we'll go with that. And turn it over to Juan.
Hi. So you're welcome to ask me any questions anytime, but this is informal. So phase one of the Mid-Valley Highway project is coming to a conclusion, which is basically just wrapping up the project, cleaning up and the seeding and any thing like that. There are a few things that we'll extend into next year, like the next coat of, the final coat of paint. And we also have cameras and other HMS items that are kind of still on back order. So we will come back in the spring to install those, the final ITS elements of the project. Unfortunately, that's been a supply chain issue for across the board for a lot of our projects. Anyhow, so we will also be doing a post-construction this traffic count and trying to see the benefits, verify the benefits that we projected due to the project. So. But unfortunately, weather and traffic patterns will change in the next few weeks, so we may have to delay. We're going to have to try to figure out a good week to go and do those traffic counts. So coming up. And if any of those data, if you're interested in them, just let us know. We'll be glad to share them for anyone interested. And of course, we'll have a study result for that at the end too. For that. And we'll use some of that result just for future planning and also for the next phase of the environmental reevaluation to the south. So speaking of that portion, I glossed over. We've made, due to just observation of what's going on with the whole Parachute Lane area, we made some changes. You probably noticed, and we've been tracking it. And over the past 2-3 weeks, the crashes and things like that have gone down significantly. I think it's just driver behavior trying to get used to the area and new traffic patterns. The first 3 weeks was challenging for all involved. So anyway, we are continuing to observe and make changes as necessary, but I believe we are pretty settled. The changes at Parachute and Mid-Valley, that's pretty settled. We have the LED line stop sign and of course the painted stop and various things, stripings and things like that. At the intersection of Parachute and Pole Canyon, we, due to feedback, we're going to make that into a three-way stop in the intersection until, you know, the portion of the south leg where the old skywalk parcel lines up. It would be three-legged stop condition and, of course, a free right with a pork chop. So the pork chop is still happening. It's just not in yet. We're trying to find the right timing with the contractor. So that'll be the final thing. I'm sorry.
The temporary speed limits, will they continue or what's your thought on that one, Lee? I mean, we got some 45 and 55 on what's been otherwise a 65 speed limit. Is that gonna be adjusted or? Yeah. I personally like the 65 myself. Defer to you guys.
Eric, when we are coming as up to the end of our TEO, and Eric, I don't know if you want
to. Yeah, we're still having a lot of discussion on that. just based on the accidents that we did have at Parachute Lane. So I can't give you a final answer on that right now. We're still discussing it with our central traffic and safety division as well of what is the right solution there.
Get people to stop at stop signs, bottom line.
We installed a live view camera out there, and I've been watching it all day, and I haven't seen every single minute, but every time I've looked, I haven't seen anyone disobeying it throughout the day, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, they're doing better. It is definitely better than it was at first.
So, do you know, Tom, if there's going to be anything along Polk Canyon? If there's going to be an adjustment, a reduction in speed or anything along Polk Canyon?
I don't know that. Do you know Rochelle? Hey there, Rochelle.
We are still working with Kennecott to acquire the remaining right-of-way, and our signalization permit is currently with Andrea for final approval.
Okay, I didn't get all of that, but let us know how we can help. The right-of-way turnover, it's in the process. It's just taking forever. So, but for all intents and purposes, I mean, it's just more, about half of that is already in the county's name. The others, we're just quit claiming it to the county. For the Polk Canyon Road area. I was speaking with leadership today. I believe we need to execute another maintenance type agreement with the county on treating the portion that we're we're still holding, which is part of Polk Canyon and also Parachute, and the portion in front of the airport. We'd like to turn that over to the county for maintenance, even though the underlying fee will still be UDOT, because I don't know until the next phase of of Mid Valley is complete. I don't know what land I'll need for the final footprint. Plus the portion in front of the airport, eventually when they're ready to move forward, we would probably quit claim to them to do their extension. So, but until then it's Polk Canyon. we're going to start that. With regards to the next phase, where we've been collecting data and we've not been sitting idle all this time. We've just been going through the selection process to get a team on board, the environmental team on board. And it will be Horrocks Avenue's team. Horrocks will be doing the environmental, and the Avenue will be doing traffic portion of it. Our in-house UDOT folks would do the design, and we have a separate consultant doing that's been collecting aerial survey data. It's a lot of ground to cover. So kickoff for the official kickoff for this project is next month, January 13th. It'll be a virtual meeting. I've had at some point or another, you all be involved in the project or as much as you would like to. So if you have any questions, let me know. So time-wise, it'll be 18 months, give or take. Mainly, we're at the mercy of the federal process. Of reviews and whatnot. The actual work isn't that complicated. We're updating data is all, but we have to give everyone their due time to review.
Thank you, Juan. What time on the 13th is that?
I believe it's, I have to look it up for a moment. It's 1 o'clock, 1 to 3.
Thank you. And so
if you're interested in attending, it's more like a team meeting. So just kick off team meeting. If you're interested in attending and I haven't included you yet, please welcome to contact me and I'll add whomever you want.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments for Juan? Appreciate those updates. And so is this being called a supplemental environmental study, or is it just a new?
The technical term is a supplemental, but a lot of the public doesn't know what supplemental means. So the reevaluation makes more sense to the general public.
Okay. So we can use either term.
I'm not that big into those terms, so I don't care. But yeah, our environmental folks would like to have it called supplemental.
Okay. Thanks. Great.
And we are also doing another project. I might as well warn everyone to install raised median or median barrier along SR 36 between the Lake Point area all the way to Polk Canyon. So there are gaps in there. And so there's questions of why we don't wait to combine it with the eventual widening. It's just that the eventual widening right now, funding is ways out, and we don't want to wait for that benefit. But whenever the funding becomes available, if we can somehow push the funding up, I'll lead that effort as well.
Thank you, Juan. Any last questions or comments for Juan for the time being? All right. We'll turn the time over to Grant. Update on the Northeast Area Study.
Thanks. So some of the items that we've been looking at, we're currently working with the consultant to come up with a story map, which is just a way to look at all of the information that we've processed in a little more user-friendly format than a report. They're currently also working on a report. And so part of the team that will be doing the traffic analysis for Juan's Mid-Valley project. So I'm really pushing them to finish it up before they start on the Mid-Valley, as I don't want them to be dragging and overlapping. So that should be really finishing up the efforts to capture all of the different findings from looked at. This next phase is look at traffic impacts in the future on Burmester, the connection to Mid-Valley with Village Boulevard, other roadway widenings that are in the RPO plan and the Valley widening plan. So we also did some additional analysis on SR 36 and 1000 North. So there's quite a wide variety of things. So the general format, we're gonna send that out when we start getting some additional information. Carrie, we'll probably be reaching out to you as well just to make sure that we're getting the right information from UTA study on there and making sure that it's beneficial for you to be sharing with the public of what's funded, what's recently been done, and then also importantly, what's are some options in the future of projects and what kind of makes sense from the standpoint of additional things to be looking at in the future. So that's kind of a main deliverable that we're working on and should have, hoping within a month, as we kind of have a 2-week dead period with the holiday season. So we should be getting that out to you and being able to get some of your feedback and be able to provide the content that'll make it meaningful. So that's one of the key deliverables of the study. Like I said, we looked at a lot of things. Some of those that I listed, active transportation. The main point was the Salt Lake Tooele County connection. And that, of course, will be in there and summarized with the solution set that's moved forward and the next steps that would need to take that into an environmental stage to come up with a project. But that's kind of where we are with that study.
Thank you, Grant. That's helpful. Any questions or comments for Grant? All right, hearing none, we'll watch and look forward to the report and the story map. Thank you. Let's see, any items of other business? Well, if you think of one, please speak up. I just wanted to briefly note a couple of items in regard to funding opportunities. You may be aware the non-urban funding, the federal non-urban funding, except Paul, maybe you know whether they exchange that automatically or if you have to request an exchange for state funding. But anyway, two federal pots of money that are available for roadway improvements. The Surface Transportation Program non-urban has funding available for the year 2025. There's $4 million currently available statewide. There's a 6.77% local match, up to a maximum of $2 million per project. There's also small urban funding for the year 2025 available. There's about $2.8 million statewide. That can be competed for, and that the maximum for the small urban funding per project is $1.5 million currently. Those applications, I'll send a link, but those applications are due to Chris Potter at UDOT Central by January 14th, 5 p.m., electronically only. And so that's one funding opportunity that's available to compete for. The state is tentatively planning on making additional funding available for the Transportation Investment Fund for active transportation and the Transit Transportation Investment Fund for transit improvements and first mile, last mile connections. This is tentative, so it's not official yet, but it's likely that the application period or nomination period, they call it, will run from January to March until a deadline of March 31st, 2022. And that funding would be available to compete for. The local match required, I believe, is still at 40%. So it's a higher local match on those funds. And let's see, those are the two with upcoming deadlines in the not too distant future. And then there are also as many of you may have seen, several discretionary grant programs nationwide that have been included in the most recent reauthorization of federal transportation funding or nationwide transportation funding. And as more information becomes available on those discretionary grant programs, we'll be sharing that with the RPO. A couple that come to mind are some funding that's available for electric vehicle charging, like James brought up. And there's also a new rural surface transportation program that will have funding available to compete for. So more information to come on those. Any questions or comments on any of that? All right. Well, is meeting quarterly working for folks? Okay.
I personally think it's about right.
Okay. Great. I'm glad to hear that from both of the elected officials here. And so our next meeting will be Monday, March 14th, 1:30. If you have not received a calendar invite or a series of calendar invites for the meetings in 2022, please let me know. But Andrea Pearson in our office, I believe, has already sent those calendar invites. So.
Wayne, one thing to add, if I could, please.
Please, yes.
We will have a new mayor come January, so we'll need to make sure that he is on the distribution, please.
Yes, will do. Will do. Thank you, James. All right. If there are no other items of business, thank you very much for everyone for your participation today, and we'll see you. Well, I guess the other thing I should mention, most of you have probably received an invitation to UDOT's emerging area. I don't know if you're calling it a workshop or what exactly, but it's this Thursday, December 16th, 1 to 3 p.m., is that right?
Let me look at the exact time. I think it's 2 to 4.
2 to 4, sorry. Okay. 2 to 4 this Thursday. There's an in-person option here at WFRC offices. UDOT has arranged 7 of these meetings in the fall through or November, December timeframe. One for each association of governments around the state, and of course for the WFRC, AOG, both Morgan and Tooele are part of that association of governments. So this will be a joint meeting for Morgan County folks, Morgan City folks, and all the local government folks in from Tooele County as well. So should be a good opportunity to share thoughts on needs and so forth. And anything else, Grant or Jay, you want to say about that?
It might be beneficial to let some of the incoming elected officials know if you haven't done so.
Good point. James, are you able to forward that on to Mayor-elect? Not sure how to pronounce the last name. Sorry. Okay, thank you.
I can forward it, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Great. And RSVPs to you, Wayne, or to the team for emerging areas, I'm not sure. Just, yeah. You know, there could be quite a turnout, and it's better if they know how many people are coming.
Thank you. That would be great. Yeah, if you can respond yes to the calendar invite or reply to the team that sent out the calendar invite and or email, that would be great. Thank you.
And I think this will be a first of two workshops where this is really focused on getting the visioning and of the long term. But it'll be really good to opportunity where we should have some leadership there, but a really good opportunity to hear and understand what is also being seen from your perspective. I know we've had a lot of meetings together, but still there's always times when we miss things and want to capture everything. So it'll be really great to have your guys' attendance there, or representatives from your cities and organizations.
Great, thank you. With that, unless there's anything else, we will consider ourselves adjourned.
Thanks, Wayne.
All right, thanks everyone.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. Merry Christmas, all.
Merry Christmas.